Jesus Christ coming into the presence of God, just in a short while, we begin to show the fruit of who we are and find out that we are sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
And how he's glad for that.
Amen.
And it's true. That's the way it works. So we thank God for his blessings upon us. Brother Jason Solis sent his greetings. You know, he wanted to be with us this weekend, and something, I guess, was come up, so he wasn't able to be here. But precious brother that was there from Bartlesville, and he just wanted to send his greetings to everyone. And also we had a prayer request from Tim Show, and he's the pastor there at Noel. Him and his wife, and I know his wife has had many surgeries and a lot of problems. And he just has a request. He has a financial need, and just asked that we would be praying. And I know God is able, right? As David said, I was once young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And so we just want to just believe for Brother Tim, and I'm sure that he would appreciate it, him and his wife, Joanna. So if you have a request, just lift your hand to the Lord as we pray to him. Let's bow our hearts to him this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's not, we just don't have words to describe what it's like to be in your presence, Lord. What it does, it just melts our heart to know that the Creator of all things, and a universe, Lord, that's so big that we'd never be able to cover it all, that the Creator of such would be willing to come down and dwell in the midst of your people this morning, Lord. How it touches our heart. And Lord, we just want to open our hearts to you this morning and just let you have free reign, Lord, just in this service and everything that would be said and done and our reception, Lord. We just give it all to you. Ask God that if there's anything in our lives that you need to address and need to touch and deal with, that you would do that this morning. Lord, because we are needy people and we need more of you, and that's just how we feel, Lord. We need more of you. And so we ask God that you'd come today, be a blessing to your people, and let us just return that blessing back in praise to you. We ask God that you would touch Brother Tim's show request, Lord. Lord, that you could just go to him, and he's been through such a battle, him and his wife, but they believe your word. They stand for this gospel, and a gospel of holiness, Lord. We ask that you would move and bring a miracle upon our brother and sister. They need it now, Lord, and we just ask that you would help them. And all the requests, Lord, that were given by that lifted hand. Lord, you know each one. You know that they each have a special purpose about it and a reason. And, Lord, you're the answer to all of them. So we ask, God, that you would move upon them and bring back testimonies, Lord, that you had moved and worked. And we just ask this in Jesus' name.
Forgiven all my sins, placed the Holy Ghost within. Oh, how I love that man from Galilee. I'm wondering if you all know the little chorus. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I ever had before. I want more of his great love, so rich, so full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. G chord, I don't know. Hey, okay, that's probably what I'm going to learn. Help me now.
I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I ever had before. I want more of his great love, so rich, so full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I give him more of me.
Say praise the Lord. Let that be the message this morning. I want more of Jesus, and we've got the answer.
Amen.
How to get more. How many would like to have a little bit more of
Amen.
Jesus?
Amen.
That's what I come to church for.
Yeah.
I hope that's what you come to church
Amen.
For.
Amen.
I want more of Jesus, more and more and more.
Amen.
You know, we got the answer.
Yes.
We got the formula. We got we know how to get more. I want more of Jesus. I want more of his great love. So rich, so full, so free. I want more of Jesus. So what's the solution? What's the answer? I'll give him more than me. Are you willing to give yourself away this morning?
Yes.
Oh, let's fall in love with him. He's our all in all, isn't he? Amen. I don't want to keep you standing now. I know you've been standing. Please forgive me for taking a little long to come to the pulpit. I appreciate the invitation and the love and confidence how it's given to me to speak this morning, and I really appreciate that. I noticed they I seen an envelope, what I thought was underneath my microphone that I was supposed to pin on my side. And I said, well, that looks probably an offering. I'll just leave that envelope laying there. And lo and behold, it was clipped into the microphone like you would clip it on your belt. And so I looked at it a little closer, and it was an offering, had my name on it, and I really appreciate that from the church. So God richly bless you for that. I had not, God knows my heart. He's the judge in the day of my great day, whenever we enter in the gates. I didn't have that in mind. I didn't come for that. But I really, really do appreciate it. I really do appreciate that. I had not that in mind at all, brother, the offering. But I really appreciate that. And may the Lord bless you for that. Let's read one scripture, and then I'll let you be seated. Galatians 5 and 6. And we might even sing that little chorus again at the end of the service. Certainly my heart's desire, and I believe that's your desire, to have more of Jesus. And He is the... He's our all in all. He is the Word. He is the Spirit. And Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And I want to speak this morning, or endeavor to, on these five words, faith which worketh by love. And let's pray before that we're seated. As we have our heads bowed, I wonder if perhaps you have a desire in your heart, whatever that desire might be. Remember, ask what you will, and it'll be given. Let that faith be in your heart this morning. And if you do have that faith, that God will answer. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand to Him as we pray. Hold that desire in your heart. Our thoughts speak louder in heaven than our words do on earth. Hold that desire in your heart now, because that prayer is going right to the throne of grace, and God will answer that prayer. Heavenly Father, how we see so many hands. Oh God, that's what we come to church for, is just to pray and express our faith and to draw closer to You. Lord, let the faith that's in their heart work this morning. Faith which worketh. They love You, Lord. Or they wouldn't want more of You. They love You, Lord Jesus. Or we wouldn't be here if we didn't love You. But it's because You put something in our hearts. Oh God, it's not in the world. But Lord, it's in our hearts. And we come because we love You. And we're asking through faith. Faith in Your love for us. And therefore we know that You will answer. You're our Father. He said if any of you having a child would ask of You, would you, when he asked an egg, would You give him a stone? Or he's to ask for a fish, would You give him a serpent? God forbid. Oh, how shall He not also give you freely the Holy Ghost and all things that pertain unto life and godliness? Help us, Lord, just receive that You've already made available. May we appropriate these promises that You've given to us. And we know it's all through faith which worketh by love. Minister to every need that's here this morning. May we go away refreshed. May we go away renewed. May we go away strengthened. May we go away more powerful Christians than ever before, overcomers in this day. Granted in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. If you'll shake your brother's hand beside you, or behind you, or in front of you, then I'll let you be seated. But if you don't shake somebody's hand, you'll have to stand up. All right? Thank you. I'm honored now to have with me, and was with us also in service last night, Brother Lee Melvin and Brother Craig Hughes. And I'm going to make them stand back up. Just a moment. This is on the left here. Brother Lee Melvin is from down in Florida. I think y'all mentioned that last night. And this would be my one of my older brother's oldest sons, Craig Hughes, on the right. And I really, he's up, from up in Wichita, Kansas. The Lord bless you. It's good to have you all with us today, Brother Craig. You may be seated. And nobody twisted their arm. They wanted to come and be part of the service last night and this morning.
Amen.
And I'm really honored to have them present. God bless you. And now, how many, anybody in here ever pulled a two-man cross-cut saw? All right. Two, three. Okay. Four. All right. It takes two. There's a one-man cross-cut, but you can't get much done with that. But oh, it multiplies. How the shavings will fly. If you've got a good, sharp, old, six-foot-long cross-cut saw with handles on each end, and it's sharp, and you know how to use it,
yeah,
you can, why, they'll compete with chainsaws.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's right.
And, but it, it takes two to do it. And so that's the way preaching is. You know, you've got to pull, and I got to pull. I'm pulling, and you're pulling, and it's not the third push, it's the third pull. And you don't ride the saw.
Right.
My older brothers used to say, you know, of course there was a little trick involved there. They was bigger, longer legged, longer armed, and stronger than me. And they'd put me on the other end of the saw and just wear me out. Sawing them oak staves or stave bolts or whatever, you know, posts, you know, to split and different things. Or even firewood, making firewood. And, you know, my neck of the woods right up here in Madison County, near Aurora, Arkansas, we didn't discover electricity there until 1957, and I was 11 years old. And so that lets you know how much of an old-timer I am now. But nonetheless, I learned that if you just ride on that saw a little bit, when they was pulling back to their side, you know, it slowed them down a little. And they'd say, well, if you're going to ride that thing, get you a side saddle. Or at least, if you're going to ride it, don't drag your feet, you know, when you're riding. But I learned that way I can kind of cope with them, you know, and stay with them on the saw. But now, please don't do that this morning. Don't drag your feet. And don't ride the saw, okay? Just pull.
Amen.
We come with the right attitude, and it takes, you know, if you've got a hungry heart, you're creating an atmosphere.
Amen.
Lord, I come to church to hear from you. And it's not the man on the other end of the saw, whether it be you or me. It's the Lord who gives the strength. One man soweth, another man watereth, but God gives the increase.
Amen.
Neither is he that soweth or he that watereth anything, but it's God who gives the increase. And so we're just instruments. Amen. I have to receive the same as you have to receive, and it's all of Christ. And I do appreciate, though, the confidence that is shown this opportunity to, because that's one of the greatest things that a man has, especially a pastor, would be his pulpit. And it's sacred. And he has to guard that because he'll answer to God for what's preached in the pulpit. And I would hope that there'd be nothing preached last night or today that he'd have to come straighten out. But you stay right with your pastor. I believe he's ordained of God to see you through. And if I didn't have confidence in him, I wouldn't be associated with him. But I appreciate Brother Tony, and I've known him for some time, and I'm sure that he'll do you good. So now, let's just go right into the Word here a little bit and just see what the Lord might have for us. And this has always been an outstanding scripture to me, because it shows how that by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And I know too that Some people feel like they need to circumcise their children. And I'm not saying that that would be wrong necessarily for some medical reason or something. But if you're circumcising yourself or your children for some religious act to gain favor with God, the scripture here declares it availeth nothing. Okay? Your circumcision availeth nothing.
Right.
Your uncircumcision availeth nothing. So your works or your non-works or your works of the law or the works of the flesh, or say, well, I'm not going to do any of those things, and that still don't avail anything. But there is something that will avail. And that's what we want, is something that availeth. And here we've discovered in this one little verse of scripture that it's faith which worketh by love. Oh my. Now, I believe it's in St. John 1:17. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Right.
One was given, the other came.
Yes.
One was a book of rules and regulations, but the other was a person.
Amen. Right.
Grace and truth. I am the way, the truth, the life. Amen. And we understand then that love, in this same passage of Scripture, if you read chapters 5 and 6 here in Galatians, you'll find that love is the fulfillment of the law.
Amen.
So all the law and the prophets is fulfilled in this one thing, that thou should love thy neighbor as thyself. Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen.
Amen.
Now, so this includes Malachi 4 prophet also, by the way.
Amen.
For all of the law and the prophets, plural, is fulfilled with
Amen.
The token. Divine love. Yes. The capstone on the pyramid. Amen?
Yes.
Love. God is love. Amen. And you must love the Lord Jesus. On Father's Day this year, it so happened that the Lord blessed me and a brother that had been my interpreter in several different locations, in Europe and Africa, Brother David Combo. And he's up in the Northeast now. And the Lord put it on his heart to have me up if I would come. And the Lord knows my heart. He was already working on the other end of the line. And I wanted to go back to the New England states. And so he arranged 7 services from Wednesday through Sunday. And it was during the Father's Day weekend-like. And so we was in 5 different states there during that little series of services. And it so happened on Sunday morning, on Father's Day, or on Saturday morning or Sunday morning, whichever, Father's Day, but there were 7 that came to the Lord and stood publicly confessing the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And I thought, you know, if one soul is worth 10,000 worlds, you multiply that, and that's 70,000 worlds?
Yeah.
What a little gift, though it be small in our eyes, but what a great gift to give back to the Father on Father's Day.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
And so our Heavenly Father loves us, and He lets us be involved also in harvesting His elect. Isn't that a wonderful thing? How that's given unto man to do. And what is man that thou art mindful of him? Now, if we can recognize the love of God. Now, faith is a result of love. Okay? Faith comes from love. The very foundation of faith is love. Okay? And love and faith is based on forgiveness. The way we know that God loves us is because He chose to forgive us. Right? And we chose to accept that forgiveness. We know that Christ revealed the very heart and love of God. In other words, Jesus Christ is the whole complete mystery of God revealed. In such simplicity.
Yeah. Yes.
You want to see the mystery of God? You want to understand God? You want to understand the universe and the plan of redemption? Look at Jesus Christ. Yeah. It comes in such a simple form. Christ is the mystery of God revealed.
Amen.
Oh my. There's no greater foundational revelation than the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And that's the whole church is built right on there. And your individual experience will be built there too. What is the new birth, Brother Branham? The revelation of Jesus Christ personally unto you. And He is the love of God. Amen. And then out of this love that you receive from Him, as you receive the person of Jesus Christ and the love of God through this medium, of that person, receiving that person, then faith is built. You can't have faith in somebody unless you love them. Amen.
Right.
Sister Roberts, somebody had to love you, and you had to love somebody, and it was His love for you and your love for Him that caused Him to have faith in you and you to have faith in Him. We have faith in our spouses because we love them. Amen. And love produces faith, is what I'm trying to say.
Yes, that's right.
Love.
That's right.
He just loves me too much to forsake me. He loves me too much to be unfaithful to me. She loves me too much. She won't be unfaithful to me. I've got confidence that she really loves me too much. She would never be unfaithful to me. Or he would never be unfaithful to me because of that what? That love bond. Amen. Brother Ram talks about a little, a young man, I believe it was, that was had to go overseas for study and art or something. He wouldn't join in with the rest of the school there in Europe, wherever it was, and they would have their drunken parties and so forth from weekend to weekend and carousing and so forth. And this young man would not do that. He wouldn't. And the rest of them, they had their girlfriends and so forth, you know, even though they're from other countries coming in there to study art or music, whatever it was. And so they was wondering about why he wouldn't. You know, he would just go out, you know, on Saturday night and walk down by the seashore there and look across the ocean, you know, and meditate. Whew, my. We come down to Jordan. We look across Jordan, see?
Yes.
Amen. We've got a land beyond the river that they call the sweet forever.
Hallelujah. Yes.
We can only reach that shore by faith's decree.
Yeah.
Amen. A decree of faith. And that faith works by love. They said, what is it? Why aren't you like the rest of the boys and so forth? And said, well, you know what? Said, I'm engaged. Are you engaged?
Amen.
I'm engaged. You see, as he was looking back toward the United States across the ocean, said, see that ocean there? Said, on the other side of that body of water, there's a land. And in that land, there's a certain state. And in that certain state, there's a certain young lady in a certain family. And she loves me. And I love her. We've already vowed that we'd be faithful. Oh, my. That's just filial love. How much greater is the love of God? How much greater, see? Faith, which worketh by love. Amen. You've got to know God loves you. And I was thinking about that a while ago, that Father's Day that was up there, and I don't even remember which state it was now that he was in on that particular day. But I believe that was the day, yeah, I'm sure it was, that was the day they was there's kind of like a choir of them, six or eight, and they were mostly black brethren from some of them from the, most of them from the Congo, I think, and different places. But oh, could they sing? And they were singing, "Falling in Love with Jesus, Best Thing I Ever Done. Falling in Love with Jesus." And I made them, they had sung that morning before I came to minister, so I made them get up and sing it again. Because truly, that is the best thing I ever done.
Amen.
Amen. And it's the best thing you'll ever do.
Yes.
And the only way you're going to draw closer to Him is love Him.
That's right.
And realize that He loves you, because the whole thing is a love affair. It's a divine romance. It's a divine love affair. Oh, hallelujah. And God is wanting, amen, to impart His seed, His life, amen, the very life of God into the soul of His children. And you know what? They become just as eternal as their father is when that takes place. It's a simple process of the new birth. That's just what it is. Amen. It's a sealing of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that's what it takes to complete the new birth. Is that true? Sure. When they are converted, Peter, you see, they had been justified, they had been sanctified, they had walked with the dean of the college for 3.5 years and been taught firsthand by Jesus Christ, the master teacher. Is that right? But still hadn't been converted.
Right.
You know, we can follow this message and know all about it and know the ins and the outs of it and love it and say, "I believe it." But have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe it?
Right.
Amen. It's not knowing about Him, it's knowing Him.
Yeah,
that's right. And it's, see, He is a person. The person.
Yes.
The only person. He's the only person. There's not three of them. There's only one of them. And the Scripture speaks of how that He is the express image of His person. In other words, Christ was the visible manifestation of the invisible God.
Yes.
Oh, I just feel so good. I can kick the ceiling, kicking my feet so high. That's, I mean, the feeling, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to demonstrate. You know, but I'm just trying to express my feelings with my words so I don't have to demonstrate. Because why? His love. Oh, my. The love of God. Think about it. And He has it, not just for you, but He gives it to you and He reveals it to you. Oh, it's unfathomable. Just think a minute now. See, the earth is about 4/5 water covered. Do you know that Mount Everest is not the highest mountain in the world? Oh, you thought now, history. I'm talking about from ground zero, not from water level, sea level. The sea has taller mountains covered, and the ocean has taller mountains covered completely.
That's right.
If you start at the base of those mountains and go to the peak of them, and they're all covered with water.
Yeah, right.
Higher from the foundation base than Mount Everest from its foundation to its peak. If we with ink, the oceans, plural, field. If we with ink, the oceans field, and we're the skies of parchment made. Think about that. Nothing but parchment. The sky itself was parchment, paper. Okay? Every stalk on earth, a quill to write with, and every man a scribe by trade, a writer. Oh my. To write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure. Amen. Yes, the saints and angel songs. Amen.
Yes.
Saints.
That's right.
That's our song.
Amen.
Amen. The saints and angels. It shall forevermore endure. Amen. So rich, so pure. Now, think about that. If we could. Now, that's I believe that particular verse of that song and poem was found written on the wall of an insane institution. Someone had so entered into the height and depth, but then maybe come back down and committed suicide. See? Because it's two different realms of realization and revelation and so forth. By the way, that don't necessarily mean, well, that he had committed the unpardonable sin either. Because suicide is not the unpardonable sin. You'll find that in the message if you listen long enough. And you'll also find it in the Bible. Somebody thought that Saul had committed the unpardonable sin. You know, actually Saul didn't even commit suicide. Read the next chapter. You find the record of him trying to kill himself in the last chapter of 1 Samuel. And if you'll read the first chapter of 2 Samuel, you'll find out that an Amalekite killed him. And David had the Amalekite killed because he confessed finishing Saul off. Saul tried to kill himself. The Amalekite found him, finished him off, and took the crown and brought it to David. Is that right? Check it out. And you'll find also two or three different places where Brother Branham said Saul did not commit suicide. And he went to the, and he's also saved. How many know Saul was saved?
Right.
Sure.
Right.
He went the same place that Samuel was.
That's right.
All right. So we understand then that, what was it? It was the love of God permitting him, you know, to do that, to give us a lesson. And then yet, he was in the program of God. Now, everybody's not saved on the same level. We like to think it's black or white. You're in or out, you know, and you're either for me or against me, and that's true. But, see, the elect is a special class of people. Then you've got the foolish virgin. You've got those people that are saved just on the basis of being good to the bride, right? And so, there's different rewards and different degrees. But everything else that doesn't receive the atoning grace of the bleeding word of God for the hour has to be purged some other way. Amen. Only those who come under the atonement of the bleeding word of truth in this day, amen, can be washed pure enough to take a rapture. Everything else has to seal their own testimony with their own blood. Even the foolish virgin is not saved during the tribulation. They just seal their testimony during the tribulation because the Holy Spirit is lifted from the Gentiles and goes to the Jews when the rapture takes place. Now, that's just a few little things for you to think about. And now let's consider this, because love, see, you might say, well, that's a simple thing, Brother Hughes. I want something deep. I want something mysterious. Well, what could be greater and more mysterious than the love of God?
Amen.
What could be greater and more mysterious yet than faith? In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, I believe the scripture declares that through faith we understand that the worlds were formed, so that the things which are made were made of things which do not appear. In other words, God by His Word, just like Einstein himself said, there's only one explanation for the universe, and that's Hebrews 11:3. God, amen, had to create it. And so we see that love. He does these things, but he's got a purpose in mind. It really is staggering to think now that with all of this great universe and all the different galaxies, this Hubble space camera that they put up, they're looking into millions of years of light years, I should say, that it would take a man to travel there, but they can look there just like that. In other words, by by looking through that camera that's so computerized and brings the picture back to Earth, see, through digital and the technological means, they can be here on Earth and see exactly what that camera is seeing. And that camera is looking into millions and millions of light years distance. But we, on Earth, man on Earth, can see into eternity. And they say that they're actually seeing new galaxies that are now being formed where the great Creator is still working. Right. Think about that for a moment. And we're allowed to see that. What's that a type of? It's God showing that as they progress in science and can see those things and do those things, God's trying to do something for His children in the spiritual. Let us look back and see what He's already done and what He is doing for the church. Not what He's making out there in the universe so much, but what He's making in your heart. Oh, hallelujah. What He's making as He is achieving for Himself a bride. What He's making when He's making you in His own image. What He's making when He's creating for Himself His bride. His church, that's His purpose, is His church. Yeah. Brother Branham said before the foundation of the world, before there's one speck of stardust even, His main purpose was the church. Not all the cosmos, not all the universe. Great as that is, that's not God's purpose. Right. Not His main purpose. Not His main threefold purpose is not that. Though it is maintained by Him. It was created by Him. And it would take any one of us 150 million light years to get to the first galaxy, nearest galaxy.
Right.
Now, just so we can get a little comprehension of that, and I'm not a scientist by a long shot, even though that was about the only subject in school that I made A's in, but I'm sure a long ways from being a scientist. Now, but we get the word science from the word omniscience, which is all-knowing. But science is just, confess it, they're part-knowing, okay? God is omniscient. I may not even pronounce that right, but it means all-knowing, okay?
Right. Yeah.
All right. Omnipotent is all-powerful, and He's that also.
Yes.
But He knew the end from the beginning. And being all-knowing... Amen. He knew what He was going to do with you. He knew what He was going to do and what His main purpose was. I believe all these great galaxies, the universe, is to let you see the love of God.
Yes.
His purpose of existence is not the Milky White Way. And the galaxies. That's not His main purpose. As great as that is, that's just a minor thing compared with you. Okay? If you can see this. The prophet put it like this. And oh, I'm so happy to be a part of what God's doing right now. Because God has purpose that He's going to make known this revelation. Oh my. No smartness on your part.
Right.
No intellectual ability on your part. It's God. All God. Revelation is sovereign. You got to hunger for it. You got to pray for it.
That's right.
You got to want Him. See, He is the revelation of reality. Not partial reality, but we need to come to the realization of true and full reality. See? He that is true, that's not true in contrast to false, but it's he that is true is complete and perfect realization as contrasted with partial realization.
Yes.
In other words, God wants us to know His full depth of His love. The height, the width, the depth, the breadth of the love of God. Is that what the Bible says?
Right.
See, he wants to make known that to you. Okay, so I go back then, I'm thinking as the Holy Spirit brings to my memory a scripture. And, or not scripture, but a quotation, and of course it's founded in the scriptures. But Brother Branham put it like this, and see, he does everything through the message. We've received a vindicated message. And we're not to add to that message, we're not to take from that message. Is that right?
Right.
We're just to echo that message. Amen. And so we see that he said this, he said, God, in order to give himself a reason for being, had to predestinate the people that would need redemption. In other words, God, in order to give himself a reason for existence, though he existed from eternity to eternity, and he exists, I should say, present tense.
Yes.
You know, there's no past and future in eternity, it's just present tense. But in order to give himself a reason for being, he created the galaxies? No. He created the stars? No. Though he did all that, yes. But his main reason for being and existing is his family.
Right.
What's your work for? Your family. What's your existence for? Your family.
Right. Amen.
That's part of God in you. What caused Brother Branham to want to commit suicide? That's part of the message. That's part of the life story. He tried to blow his brains out. What happened? He had lost his family, his daughter, his wife. He had no purpose of existence. Oh my. And all of that was part to reveal God working in him. The love of God being revealed. In other words, God would feel like himself wanting to commit spiritual suicide. God forbid it could ever take place, you know. No. But God is expressing through that his feelings of love to you. God would want to commit spiritual suicide without your love. Without you. His family, his children, his seed, his offspring.
Yes.
That's his love for you. That's his love for you. And you've got to have faith in his love.
Amen.
Your love can fail. His can't.
That's right.
Never faileth. Never faileth. Oh my, I wish I could sing. Brother Bud used to sing that song. Brother Bud Chambers from over here in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh my. Never faileth. Never faileth. Jesus never fails. His love is like a river flowing through the hills. Though I stumble, though I falter, he loves me still. Oh, I will always love him, for he never fails.
Yes.
His love is absolutely unfailable. And his love is elective.
Yes.
You have not chosen me.
Yeah.
Oh. Now, in the message of Great Warrior David, Brother Branham said, "Are you Christians in here? Raise your hand if you're a Christian." I'm going to ask the same thing. If you're a Christian, raise your hand. Now, that's one who... All right, all right. All right, now let me tell you something. I'll tell you just exactly like Brother Branham told them. You are not a Christian by your own desire. Oh, yes, Brother Hughes. I desired. I chose. You are not a Christian by your own desire. It was God who put that desire in there. If you are a Christian, you was born by his desire. Not the desire of flesh or the will of the flesh. He that's born not of the flesh or the desire and will of man, some sex desire,
right,
but by the will of God.
Amen. That's right.
Brother, that that is expressing the issue of God. Amen. When those five stars lined up, 62, 63, 62, I believe it was. Brother Branham talks about it. God put it on tape for your sake. That's why I'm saying you need to listen to these tapes.
Yes. That's right. Amen.
We're not astronomers, or astrologers or anything like that. But God's first Bible was the stars. How many knows that?
Right. Yes.
Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades? That was in the book of Job. Is where you find that. Canst thou bind? God asked Job, where was you before I laid the foundation of the world? You know, and the sons of God sang together and
right.
Or the shouting for joy and so forth. Morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy. The stars are in representation of the reason he made the universe and the stars and so forth, and those great galaxies. What are they? God's first Bible. Amen. That's very important.
Yes.
But, amen, even this book right here, as precious as it is, and Brother Bram said, I'm not a Catholic, neither am I a Protestant, I'm a Bible worshiper. We believe in the Bible, is that right?
Amen.
That's where we see the message, and that's where we see Christ in His Word, and He's preserved this Word for us.
Yes.
Amen, I'm a Bible worshiper.
Right.
That's right. Amen, but we're not just worshiping the paper.
Right.
We're not worshiping the book, using it like a Ouija board or something.
No.
Though we might open it up and the Lord reveal something to us, you know, at random. And He's done that many times.
Amen.
Sure. But see, you must become the Bible.
Amen.
The stars was God's first Bible. The pyramid was His second Bible. And then we find it here in print, God's Bible to us. But there's another step. The Word has got to be made flesh in you, and you become God's Bible.
Right.
No, it's written of me. I come in the volume of the book. Right. I am the volume of the book, the Lord Jesus said. See, He's the Word of God. And you must see yourself as part of that Word.
Amen.
Without you, His Bible's not complete.
Right.
There'd be a few stars missing out of heaven. And God's universe would not be complete. I believe the very fact that they can see those stars still being formed is speaking of the fact that there's a new creation taking place. Ew. What? A new creation? Yes. In the book of Psalms, even after the finished physical creation of Genesis, David speaks of a people and he says, this is written for a people which shall be created. Shall be created. That's the Word of God. That's the Bible. Read it. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Right on down, and it gives the genealogies, and here it comes down through Joseph or Mary, and then here's Christ. But who did Christ produce? A bride! A new creation!
Right.
Not a temporal! An eternal! Amen. That's His love for you.
Amen.
The new creation. She, the bride, is the continuation of the new creation. Christ identifies Himself in the Laodicean church age, the message to us, as the author of that creation. So what is it? He's the author and the finisher of our faith because of His love. It's His work. She is His work. You are His product. It is God who hath made us and not we ourselves. We are the sheep of His pasture. Psalms 100. And I believe it's what? Verse 3. Yes. Let's read that. I'm not talking about the finished physical creation here. I'm talking about the bride. I'm not talking about the stars, His first Bible. I'm talking about His last Bible. I'm talking about the Word made flesh. I'm talking about God's tabernacle, His place of chosen worship.
Yes.
In Christ. And how do we get into Christ? Place where He put His name. God's only provided place of worship is in Christ. See? I'm talking about a work that He's doing now. a creation that he's doing with his word as the message comes forth. Oh, God, help us to see this.
Yes.
Help us to realize then we wouldn't be so lazy about preaching the gospel, because the gospel itself is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It's through the gospel that he's choosing the foolishness of God to the world, but it's through the gospel that he's chosen to bring faith, build faith, and express his love, and to restore his elect, his fallen. He sent his word and heal them. It's all through the gospel. It's through his word. And we have this glorious privilege of preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Oh, what a glorious privilege of preaching the gospel. We need to be more sincere about these things. If we catch the revelation properly, it will make us more sincere. It's okay if I put my foot up on this.
Amen.
Needs to be stabilized a little bit more. But since it's metal, I wouldn't do it if it had a cloth on it or something like that. But I'm going to take my foot down. I don't quite feel right. But see, God is doing something right now. Don't just praise him for what he done yesterday. Don't just look forward to what he's doing tomorrow. You've got to recognize what he's doing, right? Because he doesn't identify himself as the I was or the I will be, even though he's that also, he which was and which is to come. But he's the great I am. Present tense. Amen. You've got to say, God, I believe you're speaking to my heart right now. I believe you're revealing yourself to me right now. I believe that we're sitting in heavenly places right now. The Bible declares that faith is. In fact, it says now faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Now, N-O-W, now faith is.
Yes.
Not somebody else's faith that was or somebody's faith that will be. It's got to be present tense faith. I can, I will, I do believe.
Amen.
That Jesus saves me in this. By and by, no, now. He heals me now.
Amen.
Oh my. Really appreciate that room y'all got me last night, but I think we had the air conditioner going a little too full blast and gave me kind of a runny nose. Look, know ye that the Lord. In other words, this is a knowledge that God is imputing right now. Know ye. Get this through your thick skull, as we used to say.
Right.
Let it soak in. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves.
Right.
We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. All right? Now, that could be applied in a finished, physical, literal creation that we see ourselves in. Even in bodies that's growing old and dying. Or it can also be applied in the spiritual. It's a compound promise here, statement, because He's the only creator. That's one thing the devil can't do. He can't create. He can pervert. But he can't create. Sin is not a creation. Sin is a perversion.
Right.
Amen. Hell itself is a creation, and so therefore it's not eternal.
Right.
It had a beginning. It'll have to have an end sometime. Just something to challenge your thinking now.
Right.
Because traditionally we thought, you know, that people would have eternal life in hell. But we understand that there's only one form of eternal life, and that's Zoe, God's own life. They might spend millions of years in hell, but there'll come a time when they'll exist no longer.
Right.
Because the only eternal existence is with the elect. You understand?
Right.
Some are beaten with few stripes. Some are beaten with many. And we see that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. But you don't steer people into loving God
right.
with preaching hellfire and brimstone.
Right.
And I believe in preaching it hell hot and, amen, gun barrel straight. The gospel just like it's written in the Bible.
Right.
But listen, it is Satan who leads and drives, actually. He drives with fear. God leads with love.
Right. Amen.
What a contrast. Satan is the god of force. God is the god of love.
Amen.
He doesn't chain you and bind you and say, now you're going to serve me or you're going to spend hell and eternity in hell. That's not the way God does it. See?
Right.
He said, now look, my sheep hear my voice. I love you. I've come and paid the price for you. I'm giving to you freely eternal life. I have made you. There's something that I'm doing now by the process of working the new birth in you. And you're part of the mystery. Even as Eve was a part of Adam, the bride today is the part of Christ, and she is, listen to this. If Adam was the mystery of God revealed in the garden, and he was an extension of God, made in his own likeness and in his own image, insomuch that he was even lonely like God. He reflected the lonesomeness that had been in God when God was Elohim, the only one that existed in the universe. He wanted fellowship. And here Adam gets lonesome because he sees everything else with a mate, but he has none. But his mate is hidden inside him. Oh my. The love of God. See, don't draw back. Even if there's a little something you say, I don't understand, Brother Hughes. That sounds strange to me. I hadn't heard it like that before. Just don't resist it. Pray about it, okay? Just pray and say, God, help me. Give me a deeper understanding. Because where it appears to be a contradiction, there is no contradictions. There's no contradictions in this message. There's no contradiction in the Bible. Don't be stubborn-headed and hard-hearted and stiff-necked and say, oh, I ain't heard that before. You listen to the tapes and you hear it.
That's right.
You'll hear it. See, that's the revelation. He's trying to get his love to you. And we resist the love of God because we have our own stubborn mind. And we got it all figured out and ain't nobody can tell us nothing. Brother Branham in the message, perfect strength through perfect weakness. You know what he said? He said, the problem is not because we're too weak. The problem is because we're too strong. Too strong-headed. You ain't telling me nothing. I got to feel. I was taught this a long time ago, and ain't nobody gonna change my mind about this, that, and the other.
Right.
And right there is where you resist the Holy Spirit, stiff-necked, hard-hearted, just like those who stoned Stephen. Be careful. You can resist the Word of God. Amen. And He's trying His best to express His love to you, and if you're not careful, you'll be scared of it. Like the disciples that night when the storms was on the sea and it was dark and the boat was filling up with water and Jesus wasn't in the boat. They left, they went off without Him. But here He comes walking on the water and they thought it was a spooky spirit. They scared to death. They'd never seen anybody walk on water before. I guess I'd be scared too. They were predestinated. But it scared them to death. They never heard anything like that. Heard of anything like that. And people, when they hear something a little different, this might be this. Be careful. It might also be the love of God trying to reveal to you, amen, who you are and who He is and what He wants to do for you.
Right.
Kind of reminds me of the old farmer who was gathering up the corn in the wagon. And he went out in the morning, the wagon wheels was squeaking. Crickety, crickety, crick, you know. And rumbling over the rocks and making a lot of noise, rattling. Come in that evening, boy, it didn't make a bit of noise. Why? It was full of good things.
Right.
Amen. It's heavy and loaded. Amen. You get loaded with the Holy Ghost, you don't have to necessarily run and jump and shout and make a lot of noise. Amen. But you're just full of the goodness of God and the love of God.
Amen.
You just sit there and tears be on your eyes, maybe, or your heart just be swelling up. Amen. As the Holy Spirit is revealing Himself to you through His love. Amen.
Amen.
But this one old farmer, he was out and they was gathering in the corn. It was dry. Corn had already matured, and it was just breaking the ears off and throwing it in the wagon, and then they'd take their machete and cut the stalk, and they'd shock it up, called fodder. In the scripture, it's provender. And they'd feed that through the winter to the cows or the mules or the horses, whatever. We've done it ourselves there. But late in the evening, there's a little breeze come up, and the sun was sinking in the west. And that old mule with the blinds on, you know, he hadn't seen all them shocks of fodder that the farmer had been shocking right behind him by the wagon. And so he turned around and come right back the same way that he went at the end of the field, you know. And late in the evening, he's coming back by all these shocked up fodder, you know, of corn and stuff that was being shocked to feed the old mule in the wintertime.
Right.
The mule usually didn't get the ears of corn. That went to the grist mill or whatever, you know, make cornbread out of. But they'd feed the mule the fodder. And so it says, coming back by these shocks of fodder, the sun setting in the west, it had cast a shadow. These shocks of fodder, you know, casting a shadow. And there's a cool breeze come up and begin to rustle those leaves in that shocks of fodder. And it spooked the old mule. And boy, he jumped sideways and he hit another shock of fodder. And that spooked him even more. Boy, took off running, carrying that wagon. And boy, the farmer in behind, whoa! Jumped over through the fence and turned over in the ditch. And he finally got to it. The old mule, the pulling the wagon. All tangled up in barbed wire. And said, "You fool mule. Scared to death of the thing you ought to be full of." I wonder if that's not our picture somewhere.
Yeah.
God will try to do something for us, and because, you know, we're so set in our ways. God help us. God help us. We can't go on to the deep things of God until we get away from that nonsense. Is that right? Amen. Sure. The Holy Spirit's timid. He's sensitive. And so we want to be sure that we're thinking the right thoughts and pull it. Don't drag your feet now. Amen. Excuse me. Brother Bradley was preaching a message entitled Turn Northward. That was actually a bunch of Assembly of God. Excuse me. It was Assembly of God ministers that were present. They'd gathered in for this special meeting. You can go listen to it. I think it's Turn Northward. Boy, he's preaching. And he's talking about Acts 2 and 4 is good, but there's more of it.
Yeah.
You know, when are we going to just get away from Acts 2 and 4 and go on to the promised land? You know, there's many other promises in the Bible, you know, and so forth. You know, they had hung up on tongues, initial evidence, and different things like that, and just going around that same old circle all the time. And that's what Israel had done on their way to the promised land. They was going around and around Mount Esau instead of going on across into the promised land. And Brother Brandon took his text there where God told him, turn northward. You traversed this mountain long enough. And that's what God's trying to get to us spiritually. Turn northward. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And as he was preaching these Assembly of God, Holy Spirit had to hit those denominations because that was what was making them go in a circle.
That's right. Yeah.
Same old thing. You know.
Yeah.
You know what a rut is? It's a grave with both ends kicked out. We need to get out of the rut. And so, Brother Branham was preaching along there and he can feel. If you listen to the tape really in the spirit, you can feel, just by listening to that tape, you can feel the solemnness. If you're spiritual in the right atmosphere, God will show you, it'd just be like sitting right in that meeting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can feel those denominational preachers that he had identified and showed respect to and recognized even at the first part of that tape, and they're resisting what he's saying. They're drawing back from what he's saying. Resenting what he's saying, because that's their bread and butter, their denomination, and they don't want to leave it and turn northward.
Right.
We like this circle. We want to camp right here.
Right.
They want to stay with their church, their denomination, and then their meal ticket instead of trusting God and going on to the promised land.
That's right.
So Brother Branham pauses a little bit. He feels that too. He knows it. And he said, you know what this reminds me? I'm just reminded of little Johnny that's visiting his grandma. I think it was his grandma. And of course, you know how a grandma can spoil their grandchildren, right? Grandpa's guilty too sometimes, I guess. But nonetheless, Johnny was sitting across the table from grandma. Other people around the table there too, I guess, but grandma hears her favorite cat squalling. And so she looks under the table, and Johnny across from the table has got his foot on the cat's tail. And the cat's trying to get away. And that's why the cat's clawing and pawing and squalling and hissing. Because Johnny, in his mischievousness, has got his foot tight down on that cat's tail, got it pinned to the floor. Grandma said, Johnny, quit pulling that cat's tail. Johnny said, Grandma, I ain't pulling that cat's tail. I'm just holding him. He's doing the pulling. Oh, my. I don't think we got time for all these other scriptures. Well, now, wait a minute. Maybe we've got just a few more minutes. We start at 10:30, right? We usually start at 10, and we're out by 12. Can I have 15 more minutes?
Yeah.
Is that all right? Help. Raise your hand, those of you who just give me 15 more minutes. All right, some of you I see don't want me to take it. Okay, how many just give me 5 minutes? Okay, all right. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Well, I can take 30. Excuse me, forgive me. We're still, I know where I'm at. I don't feel like I'm crazy. See, I know where I'm at. Sometimes I wonder. I use the expression sometimes, if I didn't have a little sense of humor, I wouldn't have any sense at all. But we have to come back to earth. We're not living yet in the sweet by and by. We're still in the nasty now and now. We have to be realistic. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
But listen, folks, God is trying to reveal to us that we are part of this new creation. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, spirit of his spirit, revelation of his revelation, faith of his faith, love of his love. You understand? It's faith which worketh. We don't want a dead faith. Works is faith expressed. If you say you love him, act like you love him. Get to the church. Don't lay home and stay home. Get into the house of God. If you love God, you'll be there when those doors open. If you love him, you'll do the simple things.
That's right. That's right.
Jesus said concerning the Pharisees, who fasted at least 2 days out of the week, I think. And he said, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom. And I'm not preaching that you've got to go fasting 3 days out of the week so you'd be better than the Pharisees. That's not the point. Jesus also said concerning the Pharisees, you do pay tithe on all your herbs, your mint, and your rue.
Right.
All the vegetables in the garden, you don't miss a thing that you pay tithes on.
Right.
That might be more than what some of us do. If you have a good garden, you owe 10% of that garden to the pastor. Give him a pounding. Bring the groceries to him. He might like some fresh tomatoes. You owe it to God. And you've got a source here that you can pay it through and get a blessing from God through that man. And listen, you'll never believe or have a revelation of Malachi 4 until you obey a man rob God? Good question. God forbid anybody knock an old lady in the head and rob her, take her purse away from her. God forbid. But will a man rob God? How much worse would that be? Rob God? God asks that question and he turns back around and says, yes, you have robbed me. And they say, wherein have we robbed thee? In your tithing and your offerings. And that's Malachi 3.
Right.
How are you going to obey Malachi 4 if you're not even obeying Malachi 3? Amen?
Yes.
The simple things. Let's love God. Let's don't come into church and let our children run back and forth. Brother Bram said a child run back and forth in the church in the Sunday morning service can disturb the meeting that night. That's how timid the Holy Ghost is.
Yes.
You just let them run through the church and anything you want to. You say, oh, Brother Hughes, don't talk about that stuff now because I believe the church order, Brother Bram said, was for his tabernacle. Yeah, it was. That's right. He didn't come to my church and try to set the church in order. And I'm not trying to do it here for you either. But I would like to leave this. I'd like to propose this. I'd like to say this. I believe it's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit told Brother Brown, and he brought him out under the open sky and said, the skies is your pulpit.
Amen.
The world is your pulpit, and the heavens, the stars, and everything is your tabernacle. Woo! That's the message. Then listen, if anybody's going to set a church in order and know anything about setting a church in order, I think we ought to follow the instructions of the man that's been there and done that.
Right.
And was in direct contact with the God
right.
who instructed him in how to set the church in order. Amen? Sure. Amen. Do the little things if you love God. I felt bad, at least a little bit. We might have got here 10 or 15 minutes before service this morning, but we got to mention we had some surgery to take care of and a few other things there, and we got to studying the scriptures, and all of a sudden I looked up and I said, well, look, it's almost 10 o'clock. We got to go. Then time we got our key turned in and everything, it was, but you know what Brother Branham said? He said, you ought to be there 30 minutes early. Quieten your spirit. Pray.
Right.
Set an atmosphere for the service. Right. You are creators.
Yes.
You create an atmosphere with your prayer, with your faith. It creates. It's creative.
Yes.
Amen. Read your Bible. Pray. Set an atmosphere in the church. I'm not complaining or getting on anybody, see, but I'm just trying to encourage you, see, in
right.
these things.
Amen.
Amen. All right. I'm going to turn the service back here real shortly now. I'm looking at that clock on the wall, and it's just a busybody. It just keeps on turning. And I've got just, usually we start at 10, and we're out at 12. And I did talk with the pastor. I want to respect your order and so forth. And, of course, he's so gracious and said, you know, if the Holy Spirit could lead him, and you want, you know, at no certain time and so forth, but I want to honor your regular kind of schedule. And you don't have to look at your clock. If this one's right back here, and it says 20 after 12, and I would have preached the same thing about the same time at my church if I let you out in 10 minutes. Will that be okay? Thank you. You see, these scriptures here, I want to try to get to right quick. Now, after this, it shows that God has made us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. And Sister Ann, if you will bring that up. This is Psalms, but we want to go to the next one now. I think it's 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him, speaking of Christ, to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, see Christ, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, God took your place at Calvary and was made sin for you that he might impute, relegate, see, his righteousness to you. Oh my, and he done it. It's his doings, okay? So I want you to see that. Now let's go to Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved. Now, this is something God's doing.
Amen.
Ain't nobody going to deal with what God decides to do. Ain't going to be no changing. He, everybody still awake?
Yeah.
He hath made us. See? We're the sheep of his pasture. He made us, and he's also made us accepted in the beloved. When Brother Brown was caught up beyond the curtain of time, the voice said, those millions that had already been his converts was over there waiting for him. And remember, the voice said, you've been gathered together with your people like Jacob was gathered together with his people. So it's a scriptural happening. Jacob died and was gathered together with his people. Brother Branham sees his body on the bed, and he said it must have been a heart attack. So here he is in another body, a celestial body as it were, looking back at his body, and then he turns and sees all these people coming. Amen. Just beyond the curtain of time, over here into the realm of eternity, in the heavenly places. Would you like to look beyond the curtain of time? See, he'd become a little weary.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit just took him across. He didn't just let him look, he took him there. He felt his head, curly hair. They felt the embrace. He could see himself, he could see them. And he was there in that dimension that we all go to if we should go before the rapture. All right. And there he was, and the voice said, now, Brother Bram said, I want to see Jesus. He said, you can't see him yet. He's up a little higher. But when he comes, then we'll go back to earth and take up bodies. And he said, we'll go in under your teaching. Said, you'll be judged first. And if you're accepted, which you will be. Now, so, in other words, this teaching that we are under, this vindicated message has already been accepted, Brother Craig, in heaven. See?
Right.
That's why this message, don't you question it. Get away from this internet and stuff of, where these people are questioning the message and reasoning with the message or trying to disprove the message. You ain't got no business, shame on you, feeding on that nonsense.
Right.
This is not made for questioners. Or for reasoners. That's what Eve failed by, is reasoning.
That's right. Yeah.
Get away from that and get back to the Word of God and feed on the message. The message was stored up for the believer, not for the reasoner. It's only for believers. You must leave all doubt and fear, but it's okay to doubt. But just doubt your doubts.
Right. That's right.
And keep going.
Right.
See, don't reason with anybody about the message. Just believe it. Not made your reason. Don't let the devil come reasoning with you. Don't do it. Don't get on these internet and follow all these things. Oh, maybe this might have something here. They've got lies. They got reasoning. They got man's wisdom. Get away from that nonsense. Feed on the Word of God. That's what he gave you the message for. It'll build faith in you. Fall in love with this message. It's Christ. Amen in you, the hope of glory. Yes. Now, he hath made us, see, and not we ourselves. And he's made us accepted in the beloved, in Christ. It's his doing. You can't make yourself accepted. If the first fruits was accepted and waved and accepted, then we, as part of the same crop, if we'll come under the same teaching, will also be accepted. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just a couple more verses here now. Revelations 1:6 also. That was Ephesians 1:6. Let's go to Revelations 1:6. We're fixing to close, so appreciate your patience. He hath made us. Oh, Brother Branham in the Church Age book said there's some portions of the Scripture really ought to be emphasized, and this is one of them. We are his workmanship. As we had last night, Ephesians 2:10. See, he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. See, that's what he's made us. Can you believe it? That's his love for us that's done this. Let's go to the next one. Revelation 5:10. He hath made us unto our God. See? Not to the world. They'll never recognize you being a king or a priest. But he has made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign with him when? Where? On earth. Not in the sky and the sweet by and by, but right now we have a dominion over sin, over the devil, over sickness. Yeah. Right now, God's given us that authority over the devil. We are right now made. Because it's his word, it's his creative word that's produced it. It's his revelation to you that produces it. And he hath made us kings and priests unto God. Oh my, brothers and sisters, it's his love for us. It's faith which worketh by love. And in Hebrews 2:11, for the last scripture, I want you to see this. They that are sanctified, and who he who sanctifieth, S-A-N-C-T-I-F-I-E-T-H, are all of one. For both he that sanctifieth. Now who's the sanctifier? God, Christ, right? Both he that sanctifieth, see the Holy Ghost sanctifies you.
Yes.
The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. For both he that sanctifieth and they, the bride, who are sanctified, are all of O-N-E. That's the oneness of God.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. They're all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. If you didn't come from God, if you wasn't one with God before the foundation of the world, you can never come back into that oneness. And you can never be truly sanctified. But he who sanctifieth, and we who are sanctified, are all of one. He loved you before the world was.
Amen.
Thou hast loved me with the love that thou hast for me before the world began. Yes. Elective love of God. Oh, brother, sister, think about it. It's more important for you to have a revelation that God loves you than for you to even think that you love God. Oh, I'm proving I love God. I love God. I love God. I love God. Do you realize he loves you? Your love can fail. His can't. As many as I love, I will rebuke and chasten. The emphasis is on his love, not on the many and their love for him. As many as I love, I will. I'll just do it because I can't afford to let them be satanic. I'll build character in them. I'll allow them to have trials. Because power without character is satanic. And I'm obligated. It's my workings, it's my doings, and I will not allow you to be satanic. So therefore, I can't give you power without character. That's the answer to the devil's question right there. Power with character. And but you can all now, character, it's the only thing you can take with you when you die. Remember that. This is the only time in all eternity you'll have to build character. So thank God for your trials.
Yes.
Character is not a gift. It's a victory.
That's right.
No battle, no victory. No pain, no gain. Thank God for your trials.
Yes.
More precious than that of gold. It is the gold of God, the character of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The only thing you can take with you in all eternity, and you'll never have another time because there'll never be another battle. After this battle is over, after this time zone is over, right now is your opportunity, see, to have character built in you. God bless you, church. I can go on and on and on and on and on. You know that, but let's just bow our heads now. It's 12:30. Heavenly Father, these your children have been so reverent, patient. And Lord, I'm sure some things perhaps was a little questionable. Maybe that was stated and maybe they hadn't heard that, some of them, before. But Lord, I pray you'll open up the eyes of our understanding that we'll be able to see more clearly what you're trying to get across to us. Oh, his great love, so rich, so full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. Won't you work that work in us, Lord? It's you who hath made us. Won't you continue, Lord, to work that good work? Oh, Lord, I'm persuaded that you're able to keep that which I've committed in your hand against that day. I believe that you've begun a work and you will not cease until you finish the product. Lord, when we look in our hearts and lives, we see a lot of flaws. We see a lot of shortcomings. But we're so thankful to know that you're still working on us, Lord. And we are your workmanship. You're able to achieve for yourself a bride. Lord, as our heads are bowed now, and may the Holy Spirit search our hearts individually. Lord, may we look inward and let the Holy Spirit search our hearts. Grant it, Heavenly Father, as we have our heads bowed, not be raising your hand to me. I probably wouldn't remember who did and who didn't even, but if you'd just like to lift your hand, you'd say, Lord Jesus, I see areas in my life that I want to be more mature and I want to be more yielded and I want to give you more of myself. I want to give the word preeminence. You have one purpose, and that's to reveal yourself, gain the preeminence, and restore me back. And Lord, I believe maybe I've been resisting your giving you the preeminence in my life. I haven't been showing my love back to you like I should, Lord. Love must reciprocate. You like to lift your hand to him and say, Lord, help me now to show my love to you in a greater way. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you, sister. God bless you, brother. Sister, my dears, God bless you. Sure, so many hands. God bless you. God bless you. Precious Lord, you've seen the hands that went up. Lord, that shows that the message wasn't in vain. Lord, we together want to draw closer to you. We want more of you, Lord. Lord, those who do not have that desire and do not have that unction to respond to that invitation from you, God, I pray you deal with them and create in them a greater care, create in them a greater hunger where their hand will go up real high. Lord, from their heart, it wouldn't be something somebody pulled up from the outside, but from the inside out, it would defy gravity. From their heart, would lift it up, push it up. Amen. Not somebody pulling it up, but they themselves pushing it up from a desire in their heart to want more of Jesus, more of his love, more yielding to his love, more reflecting his love. That his faith might be perfected in them. Because, Lord, we know it's that perfect faith that's required in this hour. And it's faith which worketh by love. Won't you help us now, Father? Try to make the message simple to your hearts of your children, we pray. Let it not return void. Give them courage. May they never be the same from this day forward. Lord, may there be something created right today in their hearts that they'll never be the same from this day forward. May it be the revelation of the love of God for them. Oh, my, we remember how your servant and prophet said, God's already shown his love to us in so many different ways. Even through the ministry, the hour. But how can we show our love back to him? By conducting ourselves with joy in the midst of the trials that he in his great wisdom has seen fit to send our way. Oh, my, let us show our love to you in such a way, Father, and be happy to know that it's you working in us, creating a character that pleases you. Grant it, Master, the gold of God. so that it'll be conducive to those golden transparent streets that we walk on. Oh, in that New Jerusalem. Golden God, the character of Jesus Christ. Granted, Father, we love you, Lord. Encourage this church. Encourage, Lord, our pastor. Lord, and may we go forward now, realizing the squeeze is just about ready to really be tightened down upon the elect. And Lord, we know that the squeeze doesn't change the substance inside the lemon or the orange or the lime. It only brings out what's on the inside when this fruit is squeezed. So may we have the fruit of the spirits now, not spirits, but the fruit of the spirit singular, the fruits, plural, of the spirit singular in our hearts and lives. And when the squeeze comes, it'll be made manifest in a greater way. The true gifts and the love of God and the character of Jesus Christ. Loving, forgiving, Lord, grant it, dear God. We love you, Father. Honor every desire now, because it's a godly desire. I have confidence that you will do it in Jesus' name. Amen. As our pastor comes, would you like to stand with me? You all ever sing that little song, "He's Still Working on Me"? You ever heard hear it? Oh my. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. Is he still working on you?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know if we have that on the screen or not, but let's just sing a little bit of that, okay?
He's still working on me. Make me what I want to be. Took him just a week to make the moon.
Of his word,
reflection that I see,
makes me wonder why he hasn't gave up on me. But he loves me as I am, and he helps me when I pray. Remember, he's the potter, I'm the clay. Shape them and put them in the building.
In other words, what am I trying to say? Let the Word cut you.
Yes.
And shape you. And mold you. And make you. And don't get offended whenever it comes across the pulpit, because that's what it's here for. Yeah. Is to cut you and shape you and rebuke you and mold you and make you, because that's God's love for you.
Yes.
That's the love of God. As many as I love, I'll do that too. And that's a good evidence that He loves you.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm ashamed to tell you. I'd be ashamed to. I'm not going to. I'd be ashamed to tell you. It's already under the blood. I'm talking about since I started trying to serve God, even. Since I've been born again, He's had to jerk the rug out from under this boy. He's given me whippings that I'd be ashamed to tell you about. And it's His love. He knows how to correct you, and He knows how to straighten you up.
Yeah.
If you don't do what's right, He'll make you wish you had done what's right. Yeah. And that's His love for you.
Yes.
Oh, my. It's his makings.
Yes.
His love gets pretty tough sometimes, what I'm trying to say. Don't you ask Him for character unless you're ready for the battle. Don't you ask Him for patience unless you're ready for the trials. Because tribulations worketh patience. There ain't no other way of getting it. I'm sorry. I better quit. God bless you. Let's sing the Just the Course since our pastor comes. What's more? He's still working on me. We can. Amen.
He's still working on me to make me what I am to be. Look and just the week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me.
And aren't you glad He's still working on you?
Yeah.
That thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Because it lets you know who you belong to. Amen. Appreciate what you heard this morning. The Lord has spoke good things to us, and you know, anything that's worth living for is worth dying for.
That's right.
And anything worth dying for is worth living for.
That's right.
And so I ask you, you heard about the love of God this morning. Love is what made Him come down and do what He did for you on Calvary, and now that has been revealed to you and created a love in your heart. Right? And faith was worked by love. So there's a life you will express back to Him.
Amen.
For what He's done. Because
yes.
He's revealed that in
yes.
Him.
Yes.
And it'll be worth something living for, something worth dying for. To express back to Him what He's dropped in your heart about what He's done.
Hallelujah.
And there's so many people today that are looking for ways and reasons to justify not obeying the Word of God. Not obeying the message that has come brought such precious truths to us. And they're coming up with all kinds of ways not to obey that. Not to be reciprocative with this husband that has come to us in the revealing of the Word. And
yes.
You know, the bride's not that way. She's not looking for ways to justify not interacting and reciprocating and entering into that marriage.
That's right.
Into those the requirements of that relationship of husband. She's not looking for a way to get out of that. Because you know, my wife, you know, I come home and she'll have supper for me, and sometimes it's not necessarily right on time because everything, you know, different things she's got going. But she's not looking for ways to get out of that.
That's right.
She's not looking for ways to get out of being a good wife for me, right? And you know why? It's because she loves me.
Hey.
See, she's willing to do things on my behalf that most of you sisters wouldn't, and I wouldn't ask you to. If I came and to one of you sisters and asked you to start washing my clothes, you'd start thinking, you know, you'd feel pretty. But she don't mind, right? She doesn't mind. You know what I'm saying? And so she'll do those things. Then there's one woman, one bride of Jesus Christ. I was mentioning this last night, but there's one. And she don't mind being about His business and doing the things that He wants. There's many other women, many other churches out there, and they don't want nothing to do with all those personal, deep, individual relationship things, right? It's supposed to be that way. So the point I'm showing you is there that we're not the bride of Christ in this hour. We're not looking for ways to push that word to the side and say, well, I don't have to believe that because of this or because he said that or whatever. We're not looking for that. We don't even look for that. We're looking for ways to get more involved in that husband, Christ the Word, that we can just be more of a wife to him and that we can love him more. Right?
Amen.
That's exactly the way it is. And so there's something that you and I have to live. There's something you and I, he's done all these things, he's reciprocated all this, brought himself right down into your presence to make you that bride. And now there's something you've got to live.
That's right.
And that's worth living for. Be worth dying for, right? I believe that with all my heart. And so there's a way for us to express that back to him. And so I say that because you'll wake up tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning will be Monday morning. And you're going to be faced, just like the brother was saying, you're going to be faced with all these things. They are trials, tribulations, all those things. And the only way that you can gain character is to go through battles. So you've got to have Monday mornings. And a lot of times, every day of the week is a Monday morning for us. We've got to have those things. But just realize that as you have this life in you right now that has come to you and you want to reciprocate back, the devil's going to be standing right there to tell you, you're not going to reciprocate this back. He's going to try and bring into question everything. Why? So, and I'm saying that because you've got to be totally, completely convinced of your husband. You've got to know who he is, be convinced of what he is, and then you've got to be totally committed to enter into that relationship with him. Right? And Satan will test you and try you, but you've got to be pat in your revelation. And if you're not yet that way in your revelation of Christ the Word in this hour, then you've got to come to that. And there will be things to bring you to that. We know God will do it because it's His work in you. Amen. How many believe that?
Amen.
I appreciate what we've heard this morning. Let's just give the Lord an applause this morning.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Billions of people out there that if they could know and hear what you heard and understand the way you understand this morning, well, I think they'd leave every bit of it and they would come to it. It's ordained for a people to be that bride, and not everybody can be. There has to be a whole lot of chaff just for those little grains of wheat or grains of corn. There has to be a whole lot of chaff.
That's true.
A lot of things, had a lot of water has to go under the bridge.
Yes.
God to bring you on this scene in this hour.
Yes.
And He's been working on it for a long time, and He's not going to fail now.
That's right.
Yeah. So we thank the Lord for all He's done. As Brother Tim gets a song ready, we'll just bow our hearts to close in prayer just for a moment. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been so good to be in Your house today. Lord, to see once again that You have met our needs this morning, Lord, and inspired us with Your Word, Lord, to rise up and move into this week that's ahead with confidence and faith, Lord, as a people that's called by Your name. That we are anointed, Lord, with Your presence, with Your Word, to go forth and be a shining light to this dark generation. Lord, it's such a worthy call, such a worthy walk, and I just want to express back, Lord, I believe the saints here feel the same way, to say thank You, Lord, for calling us to such a position. And Lord, we just want to embrace You in our hearts in every way. Lord, say, come and walk with us. We want to take You with us this week as we go into the world and just walk side by side with You. Let You share all the things, the intimate things that You would with Your wife. Lord, we just surrender to You in that way. We thank You for these things that we've heard. Let's ask God that You give a special blessing to these brothers that have come, for the Hughes. Lord, give them traveling mercies. Give them strength in their bodies. Lord, meet their needs. Lord, I ask that You would do the same for each of the saints here, their families. Lord, as the enemy tries to rise up and come in like a flood, I pray, God, that You'd bring that standard, lift up that standard, Lord. God, that they would be able to regroup around Thy truth for this hour. We just commit this time today in Thy hands, Lord. Just pray that You would just go before us, prepare the way, and then, Lord, when it comes time to come back from the house of God, Lord, You draw Your people in to feed on Thy word. We love You, Lord. ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Jesus Christ.
He's my Lord.